siamo arrivati al sabato mattina, come dire, ci siamo un po' persi i primi concerti, perché ritirarsi insieme non è semplicissimo al terzo giorno di festival, ma siamo riusciti a raggiungere il piccolo container della Hall of Fame per goderci questa chicca, questi ragazzini olandesi giovanissimi, scalmanatissimi, con un garage rock bello delirante. Si chiamano The Ballet Bombs e ci hanno così intrattenuto e fatto ridere, che è fatto stare bene, che abbiamo contattati alla fine del festival per un'intervista, anche questa con dei toni davvero surreali, e quindi l'intervista del giorno è quella ai Ballet Bombs, è divertita. Dopodiché ci eravamo divertite forse un po' troppo e ci siamo spostati al terminal per ascoltare l'intero disco A Loner degli Hangman's Chair, gruppo doom, ma doom per davvero, francese, in tour con gli Alcest in quel momento. Una performance davvero deprimente, non in senso negativo, ma in senso positivo, ci ha fatto assolutamente venire voglia di impiccarci anche a noi. Vediamo un po' se viene voglia di impiccarvi anche a voi, Hangman's Chair. È comunque un venerdì di sonorità pesanti e tristi, uno degli act che a me personalmente sono piaciuti di più, ritornando alla Hall of Fame, questo piccolo appunto container metallico che comunque ci ha riservato alcune sorprese più belle del festival. Loro sono i Death Somnia, una combo estone e inglese con un synth dark punk davvero malinconico e però contemporaneamente potente. Ma dite un po' cosa ne pensate voi. Siamo poi spostati a The Terminal per sentire Nothing, ovvero un gruppone dello shoegaze, a metà fra shoegaze e post-punk americano di Filadelfia. Loro hanno scritto diverse canzoni sul tema della città e hanno fatto un'esibizione da brividi dal punto di vista delle sonorità e della capacità. Sono persone che provengono dal punk di strada più forte, in questo senso c'è un certo distacco da alcuni sicuramente ragazzi, per carità, assolutamente genuini, ma più tranquilloni europei, loro invece brutti, sporchi e cattivi, ma appunto riconvertiti a questa musica triste e pulita. La cosa ci ha così, insomma, interessate e prese bene che abbiamo deciso di fare una chiacchiera con loro dopo il festival, e quindi ecco la seconda intervista di questo sabato, l'intervista appunto ai Nothing.
Hey,
what are you doing?
Pretty good, sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
What's going on? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm just trying to use my headphones. I got some issues.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah. So, no problem. So, thank you for being here and to be on this podcast for Radio Blackout. I'm not sure you know what's our project, but this is a totally independent free media in Torino, Italy. So we don't have any owner and we don't have any editorial group or stuff like that and any commercial space.
Oh, cool. And
Yeah, that's not very easy because it's quite expensive, but, you know, trying hard since 1992, so yeah.
92?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is our 30 year. And
you're doing something, right?
Yeah. And I want to say also thank you for your time and also thank you for the very, very cool gig at Radburn. It was so emotional, also because usually I'm not listening to that kind of music, so for me it was totally a surprise, and I mean, feels very good for me, and thank you.
Yeah, you got it. What kind of music you listen to normally?
I'm more on the black metal side and stuff like that, but I mean, I'm a part of already and I'm totally open-minded, but
yeah,
that was very, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, we pull inspiration from all types of music as well. So I mean, that's kind of how we ended up on Relapse and how we ended up in places like Roadburn as well. So
yeah, I also check a little bit of your history on the internet and found out that you were part of the hardcore scene. So yeah, I can tell it too.
Yeah, been a part of a lot.
Okay.
You know, at this point, 40 years old now, so managed to see a lot of it.
Yeah, I totally understand it. So I got two questions for you, because also this is a little bit collective podcast. I mean, there will be many interviews, so not many questions for everyone.
Okay.
But yeah, the first one is on your concert at Radburn, and the second one, if you like, is more on what was about your experience during the pandemic. And that's because we are connecting with different people from different realities in different countries, and we are trying to understand how things were practically, and about inspiration for musicians worldwide, differently from the, you know, from the epic narrative of the states, of the governments and everything. Like more individual experience of what happened in the last years. It's okay for you?
Yeah. Whatever you need.
Okay, cool. So first question is about your concert, but also on the bound, the connection you got with your city, with Philadelphia. And it's something like that. You have a very strong connection to your city, which you bring on the stage, not only in your songs, but also in your visuals. Radburn is, on the other hand, a festival that takes place in a very distant context, both geographically and in terms of attitude. And you played also within a lineup that was certainly rich in different kind of inspirations, like some from the depths of forests or, you know, lonely landscapes of north. How did you experience this difference, if you experienced that?
I gotta say that my computer is skipping a little bit.
Right.
I'm sorry if this is recording. I missed the port. I heard on from Philadelphia. Moving okay. Forward.
So I can try to do it a little bit.
I'm sorry about that. I think my Wi-Fi is just kind of shitty sometimes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worry. I tried to synthesize a little bit. You get this strong connection with the city, and you bring it to stage, not only in songs, but also in visuals. But Rodburn is in a place that is pretty far away from Philadelphia, not only in geographical terms, but also in, you know, lifestyle, and I mean, it's a totally different context. And also in the festival, you were in a lineup that seeks inspiration in different kind of things, not just in urban context, but, you know, sometimes on more forest stuff or, you know, Nordic mystical stuff like that. Did you experience some kind of difference between your exhibition and what are you carrying, and the audience, what the audience feel on your concert, or you didn't experience it at all?
I mean, this is something that's always been a constant thing with nothing and you know what the band embodies. Everyone draws inspiration from different things, and you know, nothing has always been kind of therapeutic for me, and it's kind of been like a diary as far as the context of the lyrics and stuff. And I very much deal with like a lot of nostalgia of you know, youth and city and the people that I grew up around. So you're right. I mean, Philadelphia is it's its own place. Even in the States, there's a disconnect because I don't think anyone really truly understands the city. You know, it's a working class city. It's drug infested, violence infested. But you know, the characters that are built out of that, you know, it's kind of like the pressure makes diamonds kind of scenario. So, you know, I've always tried to romanticize that. But it is hard for people to understand sometimes what we're doing, and we kind of get caught with side eyes, I think, at some point. And some people get it, and some people understand the beauty of it. And some people, I think it goes over their heads a little bit because, you know, it's not what they're used to. Like you said, you know, this isn't the European guys in the woods with corpse paint on, you know what I mean? But I think it's equally as dark in its own way. While this is 12 years of me doing this now, I'm well versed in people not understanding you know, where we come from and what we wear on our sleeves. But I like that, you know. Especially coming to places like Tilburg and Rodburn, where, like, you know, I feel like we're a bit of fresh air for a whole weekend, you know. It's depressive music, but it's depressive in its own way, I think.
Yeah, I get it. The same. I mean, the motto of the festival this year was redefining heaviness. But also, when I was at the pit stop looking at the merch of the band, I found this pretty nice t-shirt that was written, "Happy music is shit." And I found it wasn't the soul of the festival at all. And also, everybody seems very, very happy, but listening to very, very sad music. So I really enjoyed this kind of feel. And also, I want to say to you that I really enjoyed this reference to the city of Philadelphia, because I come from Torino, and Torino is also a working class reality, not this big town, but not that little. And it's surrounded by forests and woods and stuff. So yeah, there's room also for corpse paint, forest kind of experience. But it's, I mean, your exhibition make me feel connected also with my city. I mean, the confrontation between the two different realities was very strong.
Yeah, I have family and cousins in Napoli. And I know that I've been there a few times, and it has some Philadelphia vibes too, honestly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the second question about stuff about pandemic. You know, before and during the festival, there has been a lot of emphasis on two editions that were skipped because of the pandemic. Uh-huh. So as I said before, this gives us the opportunity to confront with different people about what happened, also in terms of additional oppression by various governments during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Together, we also managed to build a counter narrative compared to the epic of the States, made of different experiences and live experiences. So how did you experience that moment as a person who plays in practice, and also on your inspiration.
I mean, for us, this pandemic has been so confusing and so hard to navigate. I mean, as it is for everybody, but this whole thing started, you know, we locked into the studio 2 weeks before the US went into full lockdown. And we were in the studio when that happened, recording The Great Dismal. So, you know, it's been interactive for us since the very beginning. I remember when we were deciding whether we were gonna go into the studio or not, because at that point, you know, it was like the beginning of March, the end of February. I remember watching videos from Italy, especially, that was like, you know, that was like one of the first lockdown cities. And I remember watching people singing off their balconies and stuff like that. And I was, you know, it hadn't got to us that heavy yet. But we all kind of had expectations that it would. And you know, we made the decision to go into the studio knowing that if we locked down, we were going to be stuck there for a little while. So we kind of threw caution to the wind and went into the studio, and then we kind of seen it all unravel from in our little, like, you know, our little corner of the room in this studio in Pennsylvania. And it was stressful, you know what I mean? You know, we're not only writing a record for a month in the studio, living in the studio, that's stressful enough, you know, fourth record, new members, you know, that record kind of fell right back onto my shoulders mostly, and which was the first time in a couple records, you know, previously. And Tired and Dance, Brandon, our last guitar player, was kind of, we kind of split responsibilities up until that point. So you know, there was a lot of different pressures, and then you know, at that same time, we're watching the news and we're seeing all the world like crumble in on itself, like, you know, nation by nation, until basically it was at our front doorstep. And yeah, and there's a lot of worrying about our family while we were in the studio, whether we were making the right decision being there in the first place, you know, just a lot of like teetering on what's supposed to be done with this, you know. It was all fairly new at that point, and nobody really knew what the hell was going on. death count was flying through the roof, you know. But we just recorded the record, you know, and got it done. And there was a ton of new feelings and emotions built into those songs, and wound up becoming very beneficial for the record to be released during, you know, a year later, during the actual pandemic, while everyone was locked down. And, you know, we struggled with like what we should do, if we should wait, you know, because it's not very lucrative to record a record for a band our size and not be able to tour for a minute. That's kind of the only way we make money. So it was kind of a big decision to release at that point because we knew we couldn't tour. But, you know, like I said, just recording that record under those circumstances kind of, you know, that time period was injected into the music forever. And I felt like it was really important to be released into the lockdown side of things, even though it wasn't the best financial move for us. I just felt like the songs were supposed to live in that period. And that would be the only way to do it, is to throw, you know, just do it and not really think about it. So that's what we did. And we had to sit around for a year of that record being out before we could get on the road. But, you know, once we were on the road, it was, you know, it was beautiful. You don't get very often, you don't get a chance to have your record be out for a year before you tour off of it. So we came home to people's being, this was people's first show back a lot in most cases. We were one of the first bands in the US to be out on the road. So we were a lot of people's, you know, we took a lot of people's like secondary virginity, I think, as far as like shows went. And it was great because people knew all the songs and they sang along to the lyrics. And I think it really affected people like to have that record with them and then to finally see it live once the doors were blown open again. And it was the same way in Europe. And it was pretty rewarding after like a couple of years of struggle. So.
Yeah.
How's that for an answer?
And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, my experience is a little bit different. I'm also a person that plays. That was pretty cool, pretty, you know, adventurous, because it was like forbidden to go play or stuff like that. So we moved like, you know, kind of ninjas in the neighborhood, trying to escape the police and stuff like that to go play. It was incredible. But yeah, that's another.
Well, in the States, it's like, there wasn't a lot of that happening within the communities because, you know, that people are shaming people are just love to shame each other over here for everything that's going on rather than just mind their own business. But I mean, it's good in a sense that it made the, hopefully it's helped stop things, but like it gets redundant to a point too, where like I've had friends canceling tours now, losing money and, you know, based off like a test that they have it, even when they have no symptoms at all. And it's just, you wonder when this is like, how this sets itself back to normal without anybody taking advantage of the situation and stuff like that. Because I mean, that's just the way that this world works. So, you know, we just try to stay vigilant and when we're doing things at this point, and, you know, try to take care of ourselves in our little unit and make everybody feel as safe as possible. But we're headed into some confusing times, I think. So,
yeah, something more than that, but
yeah,
it's interesting. Some very dystopical time, and it's pretty much interesting how everyone is trying to do his own thing, try to survive this incredible times. Anyway, okay, so thank you.
All right.
And yeah, I want to ask you just another thing, if you like, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
You know, station ID. So something like.
Yeah.
Ah, you get it. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
No, it's okay. So
how do you prefer it?
So it's like I am, and yeah. This is, you are listening to Radio Blackout 105.250.
105.250.
Yeah, one station against the nation.
What is it?
One station against the nation.
One station against the nation. 105.250. Okay, let me write that down because that's
the
confusing part.
Yeah.
Let me just make a little note right here. Blackout Radio 105.250. The station, what is it? The station.
One station against the nation.
One station. All right, you tell me when I'm good to go.
Yeah, you can go.
Okay. My nose is all stuffed up. I came home with pneumonia. Somehow didn't get COVID, but got pneumonia when I came home. Swimming on the caresses, legs are stiff.
Thank you.
sempre rimasti poi nell'area così post industriale per passare a uno sicuramente dei concerti più attesi dell'intera kermesse, quello delle giovanissime e molto promettenti Kalen Mikla. Loro sono tre ragazze islandesi che suonano dark synth pop, anche in questo caso uno stile che sta andando davvero fortissimo da queste parti. Abbiamo avuto un po' delle difficoltà noi ad incontrarle, ci eravamo promessi di incontrarci per fare quattro chiacchiere, ma purtroppo questa cosa poi non si è riuscita a fare, però a quanto pare le fanciulle erano in difficoltà in generale, perché hanno fatto un concerto davvero un po' sottotono rispetto a quanto il pubblico le acclamava. Ecco, appunto, un'Islanda che non ci ha regalato emozioni fortissime nonostante le premesse interessanti, sia prima con i Solstafir che ora con Kalen Mikla. Nonostante tutto, insomma, si rimane fino alla fine del concerto. Il pubblico del Rodburn comunque supporta, ma un concerto davvero un po' poco interessante. Questo invece come suono da...
Letra nóttið er um þína sönnustör.
Quando sono le 22:30 arriviamo per la prima volta, tra l'altro, della giornata al main stage per vedere quello che è per noi il concerto più interessante e per il motivo per cui siamo qua senza dirci, insomma, baggianate. Loro sono gli Ulver, giganti della musica indipendente europea. Un inizio, tre dischi seminali nel black metal, anzi nel folk black metal. Primo disco Bergtat, un album che mischia appunto le sonorità, strumenti folk apocalittici col black metal più tirato, un disco del 95, registrato davvero, insomma, come si registrano i dischi black metal all'epoca, in modo analogico e molto improvvisato. È però un disco assolutamente devastante dal punto di vista emotivo. Poi hanno fatto, e così hanno fatto altri due dischi sul tema, come dire, dividendo quello che c'era nel primo album. Ho fatto un disco folk apocalittico e poi un altro solo black metal senza più strumenti, diciamo, tradizionali o comunque acustici, per poi passare a una carriera enorme all'interno invece della musica avant-garde e elettronica. L'album che suonano per intero è Flowers of Evil, il loro secondo album synth pop, che è un album davvero, come dire, forte anche in questo caso, ma oltre alla forza dei brani in sé, gli Ulver si presentano in questo momento con delle visual veramente incredibili. Telo dietro per le proiezioni, un telo davanti al palco di quelli puntinati, e la magia è fatta fra simboli esoterici, chiese che bruciano, ballerine russe alte 12 metri, un concerto enorme, immenso e commovente. Noi facciamo ascoltare un pezzo, Machine Guns and Peacock Feathers, tratto da questo album. Devo dire che essendo arrivati così alla fine del sabato sera, ci è voluto un po' per riprenderci da questa esibizione degli Ulver, anche la necessità di mangiare qualcosa dopo un concerto così potente dal punto di vista di energie sia visive che uditive, però non potevamo non fare un salto al volo a vedere i Duma. Uno degli act più estremi di tutto il festival. Per gli amici e le amiche di Radio Blackout, Duma sono un gruppo che ha partecipato al Kienge Kienge Festival, uno dei più grandi festival di musica africana. Sono un gruppo keniota dedito a quello che noi chiamiamo cyber grind dalle nostre parti, a mischiare sonorità elettroniche e attitudine di metal estremo. E dal punto di sul palco suonano senza freni di sorta, un enorme traccione all'infinito finché le energie non mollano. Sono l'unico gruppo di tutto il concerto, di tutto il festival, che non ha un tempo di chiusura, e questo è un fatto davvero interessante. Gli si lascia aperto di possibilità, la gente risponde con foga e furia a questa sonorità estrema, e noi così chiudiamo il nostro sabato, cari le mie leonesse e i miei leoni. Questo è Lion's Blood.